Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we would begin this day, Father, turning to Thee corporately together as a body of believers, pleading for Thy presence, asking that Thee that Thou wouldst be glorified by our gathering together. Grant unto us that we might look unto Thee, that we would look to Thy Word, that we would be fed by Thee, that we would be nourished, upheld, strengthened by Thy mighty hand. Father, abide Thou with us, work Thou in us, stir up our minds, draw us close unto Thee. Lord, as we look into this Thy Word, may the message of the Holy Spirit come forth in power and in truth. For we pray this in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. For our reading this morning, let's turn to the Acts of the Apostles and read chapter number 2. Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 2.
Nađene djela apostola druga glava, da se pročita. Djela apostola druga glava.
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes, Amalites, and the dwellers of Mesopotamia, and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and in Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it came to pass that in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, smoke of vapor. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life, thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God hath sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Jesus, of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted to them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. May God bless. Gentile, and to bring forth the message of God to him, because he was good and he was upright. And the Spirit was working in Peter to bring him to Cornelius, and Cornelius was there waiting for the word of God to be presented to him. The Holy Spirit was working in Peter. The Holy Spirit was working in Cornelius, and Peter's proclaiming the gospel to Cornelius and to those that were with him. And the Bible there, as we read, said that as Peter was preaching to them, that the Holy Spirit came down upon them. And the Jews that were with Peter and Peter, they marveled. They marveled that the Holy Ghost came down and indwelled the Gentile people. And it's something profound. It's something marvelous. It's the work of the Lord. This was the Holy Spirit working in the Acts, in the apostles, as he was doing these, as they were doing these things. These were great and marvelous things. And so my thoughts then went to, well, when did the Holy Ghost first appear to the believers in Jesus Christ? And that was here, as we read this morning, in Acts chapter 2. It says that the believers were all gathered together. It says that they were all in one accord. These were the believers. And they were set. They were prepared. They had faith in their hearts to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so it happened. Jesus Christ, while he was yet upon this earth, spoke that the Holy Spirit would come down to them. He said, he that believeth on me, the key words, believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This is what Jesus proclaimed to the people. Those that believe on me, out of their belly shall proceed rivers of water. This is going to be fulfilled of what the scriptures have spoken. And then it says further, but this spake he of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, which they that believe, again, they that believe on him should receive. For that the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. And so these people were gathered together, and here it was Jews, that they were all gathered together on this day of Pentecost. And they were in preparation, and they were in prayer, and they were continuing together in one accord, in one place. And this is the time, this was the time that God felt it right that the Holy Ghost would come down upon all of them. And so it was. And so it was. That there came suddenly a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. Each of them. All that were gathered together in one accord. These believers who believed in the truth and in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God's Son. And it says that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. This is key. This is very key. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were emptied of themselves. They believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were emptied of themselves, waiting for the filling of the Holy Ghost. And so it was here that the Holy Ghost did appear to them. And it says that it filled them. It filled them. And my prayer is that this morning that we would be stirred up and that we would remember that the Holy Spirit is working in us. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy saying, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. The Apostle Paul is clearly speaking of the Holy Ghost. And he's saying, I want to put you in remembrance. Stir up that gift of God. Stir it up in you. And in this morning hour, my prayer is that we would all be stirred up by the gift of the Holy Ghost. That the Holy Ghost would be stirred up in us, that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that we would remember that we are believers in the Son of God, the risen Lord and Savior, the one who gives us life. And as he went, he sent forth his Holy Ghost, that he would dwell within us and that he would abide in us. And so again, my prayer is that we would all be stirred up, that the Holy Spirit would be stirred up in us in this morning hour as we read here and we speak in reference to the Word of God of the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. This multitude, this group of believers that were here all together in one place, the Holy Spirit filled them. They were believers. The Bible speaks of many who were filled with the Holy Ghost. First, we think of John the Baptist. The Bible says that he was filled with the Holy Ghost while he was yet in the womb. The Bible says that John the Baptist's mother, Elizabeth, was filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that Zacharias, John the Baptist's father, was filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that Simeon, who was waiting for the consolation of God, that for Jesus to come, when he held Jesus in the temple there, that Simeon also was full of the Holy Ghost. And then we see Peter here. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. We see Stephen here right away in the Acts of the Apostles as the Holy Spirit was working in all of these men, that Stephen, the Bible says, was filled with the Holy Ghost. Paul, when Ananias came to him as Saul, Ananias says, be filled with the Holy Ghost. And later in the Acts of the Apostles, it does speak that he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And then as we read here in verse number 4, that all of them were filled with the Holy Ghost. It's no different today. We can be filled with the Holy Ghost. as we believe in Jesus Christ, as we yield our lives to Him, as we are emptied of ourselves, we can allow the Holy Spirit in all His power and all the glory of the Holy Ghost to dwell within us. And again, we're being encouraged, reminded to stir up that gift of God that is within us. Let's lean upon that Holy Spirit. Lean upon the Holy Ghost that has been given unto all that believe in Jesus Christ. What does the Holy Spirit do? Well, Jesus Christ, just before He ascended to the Father, here in the previous chapter, we read that Jesus said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." The Holy Ghost gives unto us power. The apostles, though they did all these acts, as we read them in the Acts of the Apostles, were empowered by the Holy Ghost. Peter didn't do anything special of himself as he appeared unto Cornelius and was bringing forth the word of God to Cornelius and the other Gentiles that were with him when the Holy Ghost came down and filled them, Cornelius and the other Gentiles. Peter didn't do anything of himself. But that power of the Holy Spirit was made manifest through those who believed and yielded themselves to the direction and to the leading of the Holy Ghost. And so Jesus here is being very clear. "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come." We're yielded to Him. After this day of Pentecost, Peter and John are traveling up to the temple and they're walking, and there's this lame man begging there, and we're familiar with the story. And they're asking he's asking for some help, and Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And all the people marveled, and they wanted to worship Peter. And Peter's saying, "Why are you looking on us so earnestly as though by our own power we made this man to walk?" Peter recognized it wasn't by his own power, but it was the Holy Ghost doing the work. The Holy Ghost making Himself manifest. And so this power was being revealed by the Holy Ghost. In the next chapter after that, chapter number 4, it says, "And when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost as they spake the word of God with boldness." And it says, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ." The apostles continually said, "We were witnesses. We were with Jesus. We know He died, but we also know He resurrected. And we've seen Him many times after He resurrected." And they were witnessing to this fact that Jesus Christ resurrected. And so it says here that with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the Holy Spirit working in them, giving them the right words to say. Words that were giving conviction to those who were listening to them. Great power was given by the Holy Ghost. Not they of themselves. Not they of themselves, not of the apostles of themselves, not of us. It's the Holy Ghost. When we yield ourselves to Him, He will empower. He will give strength. He will give truth to speak. He will guide us in the Word of God. In the book of Zechariah, it says that the word of the Lord came unto Zerubbabel, saying, "Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." It is by the Spirit of God that we will do things that will glorify the Lord. These people here in Acts chapter 2, as the Holy Ghost came down upon them, and they all began to speak in their native languages and other tongues, that what they were speaking was those things that gave glory to God. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. That's what they were speaking. And Same thing with Cornelius, when he and the other Gentiles were with them and the Holy Ghost came down upon them, that they did the same thing. That they began to glorify God. And so this Holy Spirit gives power. Not by might, not by our own might, not by our own power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. We will go forth in power. Last Sunday morning, we read of David and Goliath. David didn't go forth in all of his experience and in his many decades. He didn't even have decades of experience. He didn't use the armament that was presented to him. That's man's armament. He went forth in the name of the Lord. He recognized and said to them that the battle wasn't his. It was the Lord's. It's the Lord's battle. We have an enemy of our soul who desperately and in many wicked ways wants to bring our souls to be with him in that lake of fire. We can only overcome him by the power of the Spirit, not on our own, not on our own, not in our power, not in our wisdom, not in our might, not in our faithfulness, in God's faithfulness, and in his goodness, as we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. And his power will make himself manifest, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That Holy Spirit that is in us will allow us to have the power and the might to overcome. Let's lean upon the Spirit. Let's yield ourselves to him and allow him to work his power within us, as the apostles did here in the Acts of the Apostles. Jesus says to his disciples about the coming of the Holy Spirit, "If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter," with a capital C. "He will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." The Holy Spirit, the comforter, to dwell with us forever. Forever. And that gives us much comfort, that the comforter would abide with us forever. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." This is a marvelous truth. A marvelous truth. Again, this is something we should be astonished by. It should really impact us heavily. That he dwells within us and shall be in you. That he will be with us. And he will abide and dwell within us. What a marvelous statement. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Those who yielded themselves and believed on Jesus Christ were filled with the Holy Ghost. And Jesus Christ here is saying about the coming of the Holy Spirit that he will dwell with you and shall be in you. What a marvelous truth. When we think of deity dwelling within us, the Bible speaks of God dwelling in us. The Bible speaks of Jesus dwelling in us and being alive in us. The Bible speaks of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, that he dwells within us and shall be in us. Jesus further says, "But the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things." This is another truth of an attribute of the Holy Spirit. That he will teach us all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The Holy Ghost will teach us and remind us of that which is written in the Word of God. He will teach us these things. But we need to be yielded to the Spirit. We need to be yielded to the Word of God. In Ephesians, we read that take to yourselves the Spirit of the sword, which is the Word of God. So we are to be in the Word of God. We are to read it. We are to meditate upon it. We are to know its truth, that we can go forth with that Spirit of the Word of God. That sword of the Spirit. that we would know truth, and that that truth would guide us, and we would be taught in these things which the Lord has spoken, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus also says, howbeit he, the Spirit of truth, referring to the Holy Ghost as a he, when he is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will guide us into all truth. This is what the Holy Spirit will do for us. He will empower us. He will comfort us. And he will teach us. And he will guide us into all truth. He will guide us. And it says that he will show you things to come. And it was so that, as we read here in chapter 2, that the reference to Joel, that Joel was saying that your young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams. They will show, the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. God in his omnipotence, God in his sovereignty, will do these things. And so we rejoice in that which the Lord does. And so in our lives, as it was here for the believers who were gathered together in this place in one accord, as we read here towards the end, that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. The fruit of the Holy Ghost abiding in them became manifest. That fruit made itself known. And they were all together and continuing daily in one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. The fruit of the Holy Spirit abiding in them was making itself manifest. And so as the Holy Ghost, as we're stirring up in our remembrance, a stirring up of the Holy Ghost in us, even now this morning, that we would remember that we now take the Holy Spirit with us and he dwells within us. And there's fruit that shows from that. In our lives, there's fruit that comes from that, that the Holy Ghost abides within us. The Apostle Paul has written to the Romans saying, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. The love of God. We now experience the love of God, just as those on the day of Pentecost experienced the love of God by the gift of the Holy Ghost. Just as Cornelius and the other Gentiles that were with him in like manner, no difference, no diminishing of one versus the other. They were both believers in Jesus Christ. And that power of the Holy Ghost was given unto them in fullness. And it was an expression of God's love. It was an expression of God's love. And so here we read in Romans that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Because the Holy Ghost has been given unto us, we experience the love of God. And then because we experience the love of God, we share the love of God. The fruit comes out. That fruit comes out. The love of God comes out freely from us. And it says here in Acts chapter 2 that we read that they had favor with all people. The love of God was being shown and demonstrated to those round about them. And so this fruit of the Holy Spirit abiding in us needs to be visible. We're familiar with the fruit of the Spirit. And again, if I haven't said this before, I'll say it now, that if you don't have the 9 fruit of the Spirit memorized, I strongly urge you to memorize them. Because it's what we live. Because it's what needs to come out of us. Because the Holy Ghost abides within us, the fruit of the Holy Ghost needs to come out. And so it says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the affections and the lusts. Those who are Jesus Christ's, those who dwell in one accord, those who magnify the Lord, those who have the Holy Ghost abiding in them, they've crucified the flesh and the affections and the lust thereof. That which the world can offer us means nothing. Means nothing. We know it's temporal. We know it leads to everlasting destruction. We know it has no value. It's repulsive to us. We don't care for it. But we want to allow the Holy Ghost to work in us. And we want to allow that fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance to make itself evident in us. And so again, as a congregation, let's be encouraged. Let's remember to stir up this gift that is within us by the laying on of hands. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Walk in His ways. If we love Him, let's keep His commandments, Jesus says. And let's not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. That the Holy Ghost would never direct us in that way. To glorify ourselves, to think of ourselves as something great, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's not seek to make a name for ourselves. Let's seek to lift up the name of Jesus Christ, as the apostles here did, as those who had the Holy Ghost dwelling in them did. Lift up the name of Jesus. Lift Him up. Glorify Him. Speak of Him and the wonderful things that He has done. In Ephesians, it speaks of not being filled with wine and drunkenness, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Spirit of God. This is what the Lord is calling us to. You know, it didn't take long. There was one in the Acts of the Apostles, that as the word was propagating, as it grew, and as the Holy Ghost was doing His work there among the apostles and among the disciples that were believing and coming to this knowledge of the truth, it didn't take long for one to get it wrong. The Bible says that there was one Simon who bewitched the people, and he thought of himself as one great one, the Bible says. But yet he was converted, and he believed. And then he saw the apostles, when they laid their hands on someone, that they received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he says to Peter and to the other apostles, he says, give me this gift also, that whomsoever I lay my hands on, they would receive the Holy Ghost. And Peter had to rebuke him, and he rebuked him severely. He said, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of the Holy Ghost, as we read in chapter 2, that this was all the gift of God. You thought that could be given, that could be purchased, that power of giving the holy gift, the gift of the Holy Ghost could be purchased with money. And he says, you don't have part nor lot in this matter. For thy heart is not right in the sight of God. And he says, repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness. As powerful as the Holy Ghost is, we need to be very, very careful. Because Jesus Christ said that whosoever sins against me, it will be forgiven him. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Ghost, it will never be forgiven him, not in this life nor in the life to come. And so it's very important that we walk in the Spirit, that we walk in His truth, that we yield ourselves to Him, that it would not be about us, but that it would be about the Lord. The Holy Ghost was certainly making Himself manifest among the apostles and among the disciples as they went about spreading the gospel throughout all that region of all those places that we read of. The Lord was doing great things through the Holy Ghost in these places. There was a time in Acts chapter 13, we read that the Jews stirred up devout and honorable women and the chief men among the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coast. There was persecution. The Holy Ghost said, "Separate to me Paul and Barnabas unto the work I have for them." And they go about and they do their work, and there's persecution. Well, we might say, well, if it was of the Holy Ghost, why was there persecution? We live in a fallen world, and we have an enemy of our soul. And so by the devil, there was raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas. But it says that the disciples, though there was persecution, though there was that, it says that the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. It didn't matter that there was persecution. The persecution wasn't going to be a function of whether they had peace and joy in their lives. I'd like you to leave you with one verse here in Romans chapter 15, verse number 13. It says, "The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." We serve a God who gives us hope that through the Holy Ghost we can be victorious. We have a deity. We have deity dwelling within us. And so we have hope because of that. And he says that we would be filled with all joy and peace in believing. As we believe in the Lord, that with him all things are possible, God can do all things, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, Jesus Christ says. We have deity dwelling within us. We have the Lord dwelling within us. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. And so that should give us this peace and this joy and hope in our belief. That ye would abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. We can abound in hope. We know that if there's persecution against believers, that we can still have peace, joy, and hope. We know that if this woke world will continue and in their way and the trajectory in which with it's going, there's going to be very, very difficult time for those who profess that Jesus Christ is Lord by the Holy Ghost, that there could be severe persecution toward believers in America. But that can't rob us of our peace and our joy and our hope in the Lord. We serve an almighty God. He can do all things. He will be with us, and that through all eternity. May God bless his word. Amen.